Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
In Psalm 145, in verse 8, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Can anybody testify that God is slow in anger?
Yes.
You know, God doesn't like sin. He doesn't like a single sin. There aren't little sins and big sins. Sin is sin. Any kind of disobedience to God is rebellion, and it's insulting to Him. It's dishonoring to God. It doesn't please Him at all. It upsets Him. But notice, He's slow to anger. I mean, there's folks that live into their hundreds. I mean, live to a ripe old age. And living most of their life just blaspheming God. And just teaching others to do it also. And yet you think, why in the world hasn't He smoted them yet? You know, why hasn't He just smoted them? Why hasn't He just wiped them out? Why is He still allowing them to breathe air? Because He's slow to anger. He's very slow. A lot of folks have the idea that the flat tire they got was God smoting them. You know, He was just so mad at what they did the night before. God doesn't react that way. I said God doesn't react that way. He's slow to anger. So slow. Giving us plenty of time to repent. Giving us plenty of time to make things right. Isn't He good? But unfortunately, the Bible says over in Ecclesiastes, because the sentence against an evil work is not carried out speedily, the hearts of the sons of men are set to do evil. Because God doesn't carry things out speedily, a lot of folks have the idea that, you know, there really is no justice with God. And that, you know, you really can just get away with stuff. But nobody gets away with anything. Every sin has to be paid for. And the good news is Jesus paid for every sin. He paid for every sin. But if you don't repent and turn to Him and receive what He did for you, then you'll have to pay for it. Nobody gets away with anything. All sin is accounted for. But when a man sins and turns to the Lord and repents, those sins are washed away. They're taken off the record. Never to be remembered by God ever again. Wow. That is a merciful God. And He gives us plenty of time to repent. Now, you don't want to take advantage of that and just get out there and do stupid things, because the Bible talks about not giving place to the devil. We don't want to give a foothold for the devil to get in and try to mess with our lives either. So we want to resist him by being obedient to God. If there's anything that isn't right, we turn to God quickly. We get our sins washed away. I heard somebody just the other day talk about that the Lord will cover our sins. The Lord will cover our sins. No, he doesn't cover your sins. That was under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant. He would cover their sins. But now Jesus has come. And He has taken our sins. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. So as to remove them completely from our life. We're not just sinners covered by grace, as a lot of folks think. We're not just old sinners covered. No. The old sinner is gone. Jesus took him, buried him when you made him the Lord of your life. Took him, buried him, made you brand new. And if you miss it and repent, He washes it away as though it never happened. He doesn't cover it up. He removes it, making you a new creation, making you a completely new person. You are now the righteousness of God in Him. You're not an old sinner covered. You are the righteousness of God in Him. That's who you are. So we're not over here doing stuff saying, well, thank God God's got us covered. He's got us more than covered. He has changed us. He's made us new creations. He is now living in us, empowering us to be able to live for righteousness. Somebody say, I can live for righteousness now. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You should take advantage of every opportunity to make a confession that you can. Make a good confession like that. Because the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Even a lot of these songs, you know, we're watchful. You know, we don't just play any kind of songs up here. We make sure the words are according to the scriptures and according to faith. You know, we don't want people confessing a bunch of doubt and unbelief. And there's a lot of that out there. I'm just an old sinner, dragging through the muck and the mire of life. He's so wonderful, but I'm such a loser. He's so great, but thank God there is grace for me. I made that one up, you know. But there's places you could go and you can hear plenty of similar songs. So we watch it because we understand when we're singing, we're confessing. We're making a confession. So it's the confession of our faith. And when you're making a confession of your faith, you're fortifying the faith that is in you. You're even activating the faith of God that's in you, empowering you and enabling you to walk in that faith. Our words always precede our actions. So words are important. So make your confessions. Whenever you have an opportunity here at the church to sing a song or to, you know, repeat after me, do it. Grab it. Start speaking. Get your faith moving. Get your faith activated by speaking the word of God. So he's a merciful God. He's slow to anger. Slow to anger. Why? Because he's a God that's full of compassion. Then verse 9, he goes on, he says, the Lord is good to... Yeah, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's good to everybody. Isn't that amazing? Like I said, you know, there's some folks you wonder, how in the world is he putting up with this? He's just so good. He's just so good. I mean, if he's putting up with some of these folks that blaspheme him all the time, teach men to do likewise, how much more is he going to put up with you? You beloved of God, born again child of God, having been washed in the blood of Jesus, who desires to walk in the righteousness of God, how much more is he going to be merciful and patient towards you? See, we get this idea, God's, you know, he's coming down on us. And when he's not, he's looking to lift you up. I said, he's looking to lift you up. He's merciful. He's good. He's good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Tender mercies. We looked up the word compassion. And it means, in the original Hebrew and Greek language, it means to love deeply, to have mercy, to have tender mercy. Affection, to yearn for, feel sympathy towards, to pity. Our God pities us. Isaiah 63:9, he says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. So it's because of his pity that we've been redeemed. So our redemption is a result of his compassion. I said our redemption is the result of his compassion. And if you want to take a good look at his compassion, just look at how he redeemed us. Look at that cross. Look at what he bore in himself. Look what kind of punishment, pain he endured for you and I. And you get an idea of God's affection towards you and how compassionate he is towards you. Whenever we talk about redemption, whenever we talk about the cross, it should be a constant reminder that our God is full of compassion. Full of compassion. Let's look at some more scriptures here in Psalms. Psalm 111, verse 4. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. There it is again. He is full of compassion. You see, it's written in more than one place because he wants us to get a hold of this. That this isn't just some thing that, you know, it says in one of the Psalms. No, this is throughout the Bible. Go to Psalm 86. We've got to have confidence in his compassion. Faith in his compassion will give you confidence in life. Faith in his compassion will give you confidence in life. How many people need confidence in life? Confidence when the enemy comes in like a flood and tries to blame it on God. When the enemy comes in and tries to tell you deserve this. We need to have confidence. That's not the time to fall apart and second guess things. We got to be able to stand up, stand tall, and know our God. Know what he's all about. Know the business that he's in. He's in the mercy business. He's in the love business. He's a God that's full of compassion. You can't exhaust his compassion. Notice this, Psalm 86, in verse 14, it says, "O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life. I have not set and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant." That's overflowing. Overflowing in mercy and truth. So remember the illustration last time we talked about a glass being full. Right here, this isn't quite full. It's almost full, but it's not full, so there's some wiggle room. If it was full, there'd be no wiggle room. It would overflow. Well, this just tells us God's not only full, but he's abundant in mercy. He's overflowing. I believe he overflows every time we give him a good elbow and call on his name and say, "Hey, Jesus, forgive me. Hey, Jesus, God, help me." We just give God a little elbow and oops, overflow. Because he's full. When something's full, it's just waiting to overflow. And God's just waiting to overflow on you. He's full of compassion, waiting. Waiting for some of them and give them a nudge of faith. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to push. I mean, push hard. Just give them a nudge. And overflow. Mercy overflow. Love overflow. Compassion overflow. The help we need overflow. It's easy. Come on. Receiving from God is easy. It's easy. If he's full, on the verge of overflowing, then obviously it's easy to receive of that compassion. Receive the things that we have need of. Notice the confidence that the psalmist has. He says, "Man, an angry mob has gathered against me. These people are seeking to take out my life." But notice his confidence is in what? His confidence is in God's compassion. But, verse 15, "But you, O Lord." Yeah, this mob's coming. It's a violent group of folks. They're coming to take my life. "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and grace, long-suffering, overflowing in mercy and truth." So I know I'm going to be all right. Got a whole lot of folks against me, but, oh, I know it's going to be all right. There's a whole horde of demons out there against me, but bless God. There's a God that is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Notice what the Lord says here in Isaiah chapter 49. Boy, that was some stuff right there. Just meditate on. Let that sink down deep inside you. Get a hold of that. Meditate on it. Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Now Zion, you know, is Israel under the old covenant, but then the book of Hebrews in the New Testament says the church is Zion. So we could say the church said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. It's a lot of folks, a lot of church folks probably saying that today. Lord's forgotten me. Lord's not answering me. Lord's not helping me. I've called on him, but he hasn't come through for me. The Lord's forgotten me. Verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? That'd be a tough thing. For a loving mother to forget her nursing child and not have what? Compassion. Not have compassion on the son of her womb. Surely they may forget. He has to put that in there because there are those that have forgotten. There's been folks that have forgotten, have been so hardened through sin that they are without natural affection. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 and beyond, it talks about the last days. And it says, in the last days, there'll be times of stress, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, not lovers of God. And in verse 3, it says, they will be, the people of this last day generation, they will be, the King James Version says, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Man, that's the day you and I are living in. It's the last days. There's a lot of folks that have become so callous, so dull to human suffering and human pain that they don't even have natural affection for their own children, for their own family. They're dull. They're hateful. But thank God you and I are here. We're here in this generation. We're here a part of these last days to bring the compassion of God through us to this world and help wash away some of those calluses. But there's folks that, you know, they have no affection towards their children. They're so self-seeking. They're so into themselves. They can't even love their own children. So he said, you know, that nursing mother, she may forget. There are some that have. Then he says, yet I will not forget you. I will not forget you. So regardless of a person's upbringing, you know, you might have had parents, or someone may have had parents that were dull, callous, unloving, hateful, bitter, angry, just mean, mean parents. Parents that abandoned them maybe while they were little, whatever the situation might be. And they think, you know, that's my mentality of God. That because my natural father, my natural mother were that way, then I have a tough time seeing God any differently. Well, that's a cop out for not feeding on the word. Get over in the Bible. Get your mind renewed. Don't stay that way. I can understand you start out that way, but don't just act like that's the way it needs to be always. Open up the word, renew your mind, get a hold that even though your natural parents might have deserted you, might have been mean to you, might have beat you down in life, that's all the more reason for you to come over here and meditate on the things that are being taught in this series about the compassion of God. And understand that even though they may have forgotten you, seems like they have. Yet, God says, I will not forget you. And you need to remind yourself of that all the time. God will never forget me. People might be mean to me. People might change on me. Human compassion is fickle. It can change overnight. But oh, the compassion of God is eternal. It doesn't become dull and insensitive. And it can endure anything. It can overcome anything. And that's the compassion of God that we're to be receiving, walking in, and administering to others. The compassion and love of God. He says in verse 16, see, he's trying to get it across to us. See, he's trying to let us know, I'll never forget you. He's trying to let you know how much compassion he has for you. He says, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Now, this is before Jesus came and went to the cross. Here is a prophecy of Jesus and what he would accomplish, as though it has already happened. The psalmist has seen it. See, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. How many of you know when Jesus rose from the dead, he showed his hands to his disciples? He still had the nail scars. In fact, he told Thomas, put your finger in here. Because Thomas had doubted the disciples that Jesus, in fact, had risen from the dead and had appeared to them. And he said, I will not believe. I will not believe. And then when Jesus showed up, Jesus said, Thomas. And Thomas looked and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, put your finger right here in the palms of my hand. What does that mean? He still has those marks from the cross. He's keeping them. He's keeping them for all eternity as a reminder to him of his commitment to you, his love for you, his compassion towards you. It's a reminder to him all the time. He's got them right now. It's going to be real hard for God to make a fist and want to belt you. Because he looks and there he sees the holes in his hands where he gave his life to redeem you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is compassionate. Now we know Jesus, when he came, he was God come in the flesh. And he said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And Hebrews, I want to hit this again. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go back to verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. There's that confession again we were talking about earlier. Hold fast to your confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Notice that. We have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. He put on flesh and blood. He knows what it's like to be a human being. I mean, God, he already had compassion for us, you know. But now, how much more? Now that he's become a man. And he's been down here. He knows firsthand what it's like to be tempted, to be rejected, to be threatened, to be on the devil's hit list. He knows firsthand what it's like now. So if he had compassion for us before under the old, how much more now under the new does he have compassion for you? Glory to God. Notice here in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, Hebrews 5. In verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also beset by weaknesses. So notice, again, talking about a high priest in the natural, Jesus became a high priest in the natural, and he knows what it's like to be beset by weaknesses. He knows what that's like. So he has what? He can have what? Verse 2? He can have compassion. He can have compassion. Well, let's look at some of the compassion of Jesus in Matthew 9. I was praying one day, talking with the Lord years back, praying about ministry things. And the Lord spoke a word to my heart. He said, let your passion for ministry be compassion for people. Let your passion for ministry be compassion for people. Compassion is to be our passion when it comes to serving God. We shouldn't be seeking to serve God for selfish reason. And hopefully they have an American Idol in heaven and we can get up and perform before all the saints. Have a little karaoke Christianity in the church. Karaoke church. Everybody can see how wonderful you are, how spiritual you are, how holier than thou you are, how awesome you are, how much of God you know. You can impress the world. This is your opportunity. We're going to give away a fire award. It's kind of like the Dove Award, you know, the Grammy Award. We got the fire award. See how fired you up. See how fired you are up for God. Ministry for a lot of folks is out of selfishness. Paul the Apostle addressed it even back in his day. He said, you know, there are many that seek their own, not the Lord Jesus, not what is for the Lord. They're self-seeking. There's a lot of folks self-seeking in ministry, wanting to be in, I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God. And it's all a part about their self-importance. But the Lord says, no, let your passion to serve. Let your passion for ministry. How many of you all got a ministry? That was weak. How many of you all have a ministry? Yeah, it isn't just, you know, behind the pulpit. Actually, what I'm doing is training you for the ministry. According to Ephesians 4, you're the ones being equipped and trained and prepared for ministry. So you need to hear this. Your passion needs to be compassion for others. And really, you know, in so much in life, our passions need to be compassion. When we go to work, compassion needs to be the thing that makes us passionate. Not just to make money. Not just to make money. Not just to have a good retirement plan. But to be a blessing. To help others. Humanity is hurting. They need your business. They need your work. They need your employment at that job to cause it to be successful so that people can be fed, people can be clothed, people can be helped. People need help. Let's go to work. Tomorrow's Monday. Get up, go to work and help somebody. Be a blessing to humanity. Let your passion for work be compassion. He says, I just don't have it in me to get up and go to work. Stir yourself up by stirring up compassion. And you'll have plenty of fire in your bones, bless God, when you go to work. Because that compassion of God is in you. And it's what motivated Jesus in what he did when he went out to bless humanity. Notice here in Matthew 9 in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. In other words, Jesus is looking for more people to help, to get out there and help humanity. And it says, he was moved with compassion for them because. Here's what stirred up his compassion. He looked at the people, not with just a superficial gaze. He didn't just look upon them externally and judge them according to the flesh, but he looked on them and saw their condition. He saw the pitiful condition that they were in. He saw how hurting humanity was. How hurting they were. They were weary. They were scattered. Like sheep having no shepherd. It's when we look past the external, the outward, and really think about people. You know, everybody has a story. There's a whole lot more to the people sitting around you this morning than what you see. And yet, there is so much judging according to the flesh among people. People look, I mean, people have sized me up and they had me labeled, they had me figured out in seconds. Slick hair. I mean, that's it right there. They know exactly what I'm all about. Because I got slick hair. Oh, do you see what car they drive? Oh, do you see what kind of house they live in? Oh, do you see this? Oh, do you see that? And they got them all figured out. Got you all figured out. A person that thinks like that and judges people like that will never know the compassion of Jesus. They'll never know the compassion of God. They're too superficial. They're too fleshy. It's when we start realizing, you know, there's been a lot of hurt, there's been a lot of sweat, there's been a lot of pain, there's been a lot of tribulation, there's been a lot of pressing that these people have gone through in order to be able to sit in this place today looking as pretty as they are. There is a huge story behind each and every one of us. Behind each and every person that we meet. Jesus saw through the facades. He saw past the externals. And he saw into people's worlds. He saw by faith. He saw their sufferings. He saw their pain. He saw their need. And as a result of that, he was moved with compassion, with a deep love for people. He was moved with a yearning and a longing to want to help deliver these precious people. Man, our lives are so precious to God. And that is why with long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. Time and time again, he will show you his deliverance time and time again in your life, because your life is so valuable to him. It's so precious to him because he sees more than your haircut. He sees past your Maybelline. He sees past your makeup. And we can get so externally focused. We can get our minds so on how we look and then judge everybody based on how they look that we miss the whole thing. And though we have this love and this compassion of God that has been poured in our heart, we're numbed, we're dull to it. There's no walking in it. So if we're going to walk in the compassion of God, walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and really be able to be servants of God, really be able to help humanity, we're going to have to take some time and we're going to have to think. We're going to have to think about people. We're going to train ourselves to think about people and get to the point with just a glance, because we're so trained in thinking about the human being in the shell. Our bodies are just a shell. And we get so trained at really thinking deeper about a human being that it becomes reactionary. That we look at a person and immediately we see a human being there that is made up of so much more than just what we see. And the result of that is going to be compassion. The result of that is going to be a deep care for people. A passion to help people. Oh, hallelujah. And we need passion. A lot of folks, the only passion they know is the lust of the flesh. They're passionate about gratifying the flesh, giving the flesh everything it wants. But remember, compassion is the answer to the passions of the flesh. You're struggling with the passions of the flesh, it's because you've been thinking and living too superficially. We've got to think deeper. Train ourselves. There's a training involved in this. You've got to be patient with yourself. But you've got to train yourself to think deeper. Think beyond the flesh. Allow that love of God to get stirred up. And it will cause the lust of the flesh to subside. It'll quench it. It will quench the flesh. And that's how we're supposed to do it. According to the book of Galatians, you know, it says the works of the flesh are evident, but the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And then he goes on and says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's it right there. The answer to the lust of the flesh isn't just trying to stop the flesh, but it's walking in the Spirit. Stir up the compassion of God in your spirit. Stir up the love of God in your spirit. And you won't be reacting to the flesh so much. Take the time. Stir it up. Jesus was moved with compassion. He saw this multitude of people. It was this scripture right here that God used to call me into the ministry. I didn't really fully understand it at the time, but I was still living in New York, hadn't gone to Bible school, was, you know, fairly newly saved, and I was over here in the Word worshiping God. I was on the floor. Opened up my Bible and opened up here to Matthew 9. I just started reading it. How he went about teaching and preaching and healing. And then I got to that point where it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. And I just stopped. And I just sat back and I thought, Lord, you are compassionate. You were moved with compassion. And I wanted to see what he saw. I wanted to feel what he felt. And as I spent some time meditating on that and talking to him about this, that's when all of a sudden he dropped it in me to serve him in the ministry, to follow in his footsteps, do the things that he did. Compassion needs to be the root of what we do in life, the root to all our passions in life. Amen. Now remember, we just finished saying that our redemption is the result of God's compassion, according to Isaiah 63. So if God took away his redemption, then he would cease being compassionate. Notice here, Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And what was the result thereof? He taught, he preached, he healed. Right? He healed. He healed out of compassion. Then he told his disciples to do the same thing and pray that others would rise up. Go out into the harvest field. Do the same thing. Teach, preach, heal. Out of what? Compassion. So to say Jesus or God doesn't heal today is to say God has ceased to be compassionate. Because his healing is the result of what? Compassion. His redemption is the result of compassion. Deliverance is a result of his compassion. So for him not to heal, for him not to deliver, is to him not being compassionate. Well, we already know that's impossible. It's impossible for him to not be compassionate because he's full of compassion. How can you not be compassionate if you're full of compassion? Amen. Notice here in Matthew 14. Makes it so simple, doesn't it? People confuse the whole thing, you know, and I don't know if God will heal. You never know if he'll heal. Do you know if he'll be compassionate? Well, I don't know. Well, read the Bible. He is compassionate. He's full and overflowing with compassion. So to say you don't know if he's going to be compassionate, that's just ignorance of the Bible. Well, likewise, if you don't know if he's going to heal you, if he's going to deliver you, if he's going to set somebody free, then you're ignorant of his compassion. Because for him not to heal, not to deliver, is for him not to be compassionate anymore. And it just isn't going to change. It isn't going to happen where he's not compassionate anymore. Notice here in Matthew 14. In verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them. And healed their sick. Now this is again, we're still in Matthew. We just went from chapter 9, now we're over in chapter 14. So this is just later on down the road here in Jesus' walk. And once again, when he saw a great multitude, he was what? Moved with compassion for them, and therefore what? Healed their sick. And then, of course, it goes on, and the multitude had been following him, and they hadn't eaten for a while, and the disciples said, Lord, you know, send the multitude away, they can get something to eat. And Jesus, in his compassion for them, did a miracle and multiplied some bread and some fishes and fed the whole multitude of people. He had compassion on them because he saw that they were hungry. He's still the same today, folks. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He sees folks just being hungry, and he is moved with compassion. The only reason, again, why there's folks missing out on experiencing his provision in their life is because there's no faith in his compassion to receive his provision. Because his provision flows through compassion. We receive his provision by having faith in his compassion. I said we receive of God's provision by having faith in his compassion. A lot of folks are trying to focus it on the provision and believe in God to give them the provision based on a scripture, but you got to understand that the scripture is rooted in compassion. This all came out of the compassion of God. You can't just take the scripture and say, my God shall supply all my needs, and then just claim the provision and getting all your needs met. Without understanding the heart, without understanding the reason why there is a scripture that says, my God supplies all your needs. Why there is a scripture that says, there's no weapon formed against you that'll prosper. Why there is a scripture that says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Why are those scriptures there? Because there's a God behind those scriptures that is full of compassion. So our faith shouldn't just be in the scriptures that promise us the provision, but it needs to go beyond that. Again, we're trying to move beyond the superficial and go a little deeper here. And we want to put our faith in the compassion of God towards us. When you get a hold of how compassionate he is towards you, when you understand he's moved with compassion, he's overflowing with compassion towards you. That, oh man, it's easy to see, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all my needs. My God will heal my body. My God will deliver me. My God will come through. He will always come through for me. How do you know that? Because I know how compassionate he is. I know how compassionate he is. Amen. So I think a lot of folks have stopped at the letter and have missed it, not gone further to really get a hold of the why behind what God does. Why does he do what he do? Because he loves you. That's why he do what he do. Amen. And ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like the Lord. Come on, are you seeing this? Oh, hallelujah. He's a God that is full of compassion. He's the same today. Aren't you glad he's not done with you yet? I'm telling you, if Jesus could sing you a love song right now, I believe it would sound something like this. We've only just begun. Man, we're going to go on in deeper into this love of God. And by faith in his compassion, we're going to receive the abundant provision that he has for you and I. Can you say amen? Come on, let's stand on our feet and thank him.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.